Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up, D.C., Maryland, Virginia? Welcome to the Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Show is brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. Good morning. I am Cakes, and I'm joined by Jason Bishop.
Happy Friday, boys.
Happy Friday, sir. Also joined by Eric Bickle.
Doesn't feel like a happy Friday, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Not at this point, it doesn't. Got a three-man show today. JP will be back next week. I'm sure that one other person in this room will be on vacation.
I told Cakes I was not wearing the Brooks Like Caps jersey if they lost. So he's the only one with the Caps gear.
And I said yesterday I would wear it, win or lose.
Yeah,
it pained you, though, to put it on. It hurt.
I wasn't crazy about grabbing it out of my closet this morning, but I said, you know what? I said I was going to wear it yesterday on the air, so I will wear it.
Mm-hmm.
The Caps lose the opener to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
They just don't
make
it easy.
I'm sure we all stayed up late to watch it. Of course it went to overtime. Of course the Caps lose in overtime. But not going to mail it in. It's one game out of potentially seven.
Right.
I figured this would be a war of a series. That's just the way it is
with
the Caps.
It's one, and they don't make it easy, and they've lost game ones before. But it squarely puts the pressure on the Caps.
Absolutely.
To win game two.
That's the nature of the playoffs.
There was more pressure on them to begin with, and now in a 0-1 hole, the pressure mounts.
You've got to win game two, yeah.
Absolutely.
Can you come back from 0-2? Of course, but it's not likely.
It's rare, especially when their first two are at home. I mean, mm-hmm. I expect them to win game two, and I think it's going to be a war, like we said. I thought we were going to win the series, but, who knows? Is there a single Caps fan that's surprised? There can't be.
No.
I wouldn't think. If you've watched the Caps for more than 10 minutes of your life.
There can't be.
Why couldn't we had a 7-0 game like Pittsburgh did?
It's never
easy. Where you can go to bed early.
I'll tell you exactly why they didn't have a 7-0 blowout. Because the Caps were garbage on their first two power plays.
And then they kept
coming. Well, especially the first one.
Full on garbage, ugly, gross, couldn't take advantage of Columbus's poor penalty kill. Now
they got the major.
They got on the board twice.
And then
the
they
five
got hooked.
You're not going to score in every power play, but at least have some opportunities. At least put some pressure on Bobrovsky and the defense.
Yeah, but
and
you
the
know what? After
kill.
That penalty, the major, and you get 5 minutes, and they got two quick goals. I mean, you got to feel good. You got all the mojo in the world.
Yeah, but you know, two goals is not enough. I mean, I take that back. It's not that it's not enough, but I don't think you feel too comfortable. With the 2-0 lead.
Well, not with the Caps.
No,
not with the Caps.
They blew a 2-0 lead. They blew a 3-2 lead.
We've
gets to overtime.
We've seen two-goal leads disintegrate.
Absolutely.
With the quickness
I understand that, but my point is you got all of the momentum, all the pressures on Columbus. They got to get back into the game. You just got to play smart hockey. No dumb penalties.
The dumb penalties are what's killing
them. Burakovsky penalty that set
which
up
one
the
was set, that
the, was at the end
in the third period.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah.
set up
tripping,
the, set up the equalizer.
Yeah,
was just mind numbing. I mean, you see it.
And Seth Jones, by the way,
he's a very good player.
He is good.
He's really talented.
Who would know that Popeye would have a silly hockey son?
Hey, he got his kid into hockey. I think he started like skating when he was 5 years old. And you know what?
Where was Popeye playing at that time?
I think it was maybe Dallas. I mean, don't quote me on it, but I think he might have been with the Mavericks at that point when Seth started playing.
He's really good.
Yeah. Really good young talent for Columbus.
Couldn't take advantage of those early power plays and the stupid penalties.
That's the game right there.
And they couldn't clear the zone on the Seth Jones power play goal. Like, the puck was probably millimeters from going past the blue line if it didn't actually cross.
Mm-hmm.
Atkinson saves it. I don't know why it wasn't challenged as to whether it crossed the blue line or not, but they score, push it to overtime, and then Panarin with just a world-class move. I mean, he made Dmitry Orlov look like he was skating in quicksand. And look, he's a very good
he's
young
a stud
player.
Player, yeah.
But he tucked it up in the corner past Grubby. I mean, there's nothing Grubby couldn't.
That was a great move.
I mean, I don't know if any goalie in the Cousy's league stopped
that. Cousy's move for the second goal was
beautiful.
That was a superstar move.
Yep.
Yeah, that was world class.
That was like a silly Kyrie Irving crossover.
Hit the pipe, just silly.
And if
you hear that ding,
if you don't think the Caps missed Jay Beagle last night in the faceoff dot,
oh yeah,
especially,
what were the percentages?
Especially in the defensive zone, I don't have that breakdown of the defensive draws that were lost, but I know that it was overwhelmingly in Columbus's favor. For the game, it was 55-45 in favor of Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
If Jay Beagle's out there, there's no way those percentages look like that. So hopefully he's back for Sunday because he is desperately
needed.
He
skated for like five straight days.
Yeah.
But I guess he must still be banged up.
Well, he's got to be back Sunday.
I mean, even if he's not 100%, mm-hmm. I think if you're Barry Trotz and the coaching staff, you have to find a way to get him out there.
Get him out there just for the faceoffs and then skate off.
Maybe. I don't know. But he was desperately missed. If you think Jay Beagle isn't valuable to this team or whoever is going to pay him after this season is done, you're crazy.
Well, the other thing about this game last night was it was very, very physical.
Yeah.
You know, this was a physical Eastern Conference playoff hockey game.
Right. And that's Columbus's style, especially. Mm-hmm. They want to lean on you in the offensive zone. That's just what they do.
Yeah, and you could tell that the Caps were trying to bounce back from that and kind of beat them back down.
Right.
And it got them in trouble a couple of times.
Yep.
Especially with Wilson.
I just felt like the game was slipping away from about the middle of the second period on. It just did. It just slowly started sort of bleeding and hemorrhaging away.
I really felt like the Blue Jackets were carrying the action starting in the second period. Like, they were buzzing around. I was like, this is not good. This is not going away.
Every time, so when it was 3-2, I don't know how many minutes left, every time they had the puck, it was terrifying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I went into the playoffs saying, I'm not going to get emotionally attached to any to the Wizards or the Caps, and I just can't help it because they're your team.
Right, you get sucked in.
And it's just a crusher.
Right.
Just a crusher. Now, believe me, I didn't cry, and I protected myself to an extent, but you just can't help but get sucked in.
I didn't cry.
It's brutal.
But as Panarin put the game winner past Grubby, I just stared at the TV and did this. Both of my hands.
Oh, you did. I didn't even have that reaction.
I just did this for like,
you know what I did?
15 seconds.
I went off. I just hit the off button, and I went nighty-night.
I watched the replay a few times, and my wife was basically asleep. She said, that's so loud. I said, you know what? You're right. It's now
it's
officially bedtime.
Oh, you actually had the volume on. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just told my wife, right when it happened, I said, inevitable. Watched a few highlights and then turned.
Now, here's the question. I don't know how you guys feel. How do you feel Grubby played?
I thought he was average.
Average,
I didn't think he was
average,
bad.
Decent.
Wasn't horrible, but wasn't great.
I need
a better performance.
I don't think you can pinpoint it on him.
I'm not saying that.
I don't think Holtby starts game two. I think you're going to see Grubby.
I think you're probably right.
Well, because the real quick one, I don't know. Remember, it was that cross right in front of him? He had no chance on that one.
Yeah, that was the first one.
That
goal just got tucked in.
That was Wennberg. Yeah. I thought he was average.
But he didn't stand out, but I don't think he was the problem. The problem was discipline.
Mm-hmm.
The stupid penalties.
I mean, the tripping penalty on Burakovsky. I mean, Trotz even commented on it. He's like, you know, we have 200 feet of ice there. You don't really need to chase Jones behind the net.
Right.
And it did. It looked like he started slipping before mm-hmm. Burra put his stick blade on the bottom of his skate. But I guess, you know, it's a bang-bang play. The refs see it.
Did we get fortunate on our first goal? Like, or did you agree with the call? Where they initially thought Oshie maybe interfered with the goalie?
I just think the puck was behind
the
line before there was much contact.
Look,
definitely before there was contact. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
But what I was struck by was just listening, because I always listen to the announcers, because mm-hmm. they know better than me, and they seemed very neutral. They were very 50-50 on it. They didn't commit to, this is clearly a goal. And so I thought we were fortunate when we.
I thought Locker
well, I mean, look,
was pretty
they reviewed
saying,
it. When they review it and they come back with the ruling, I feel like it was a good call. Once they review it, I'm thinking they made the right call.
I assume it was the right call, but I still thought maybe we were on the right.
I thought
a little
Locker
fortunate.
Was kind of confident that the goal was good while they were discussing it, while they were.
He did say he thought it was a good goal.
I trust Locker, man. That guy knows
so do
his
I.
stuff.
But I thought they were a little more neutral than. Oh, yeah, it's clearly a goal.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. You just can't blow 2-0 leads when you have the momentum.
And 3-2 leads
one.
In the third period. Right. You have to be able to put that team away somehow.
Yeah. Of course, but I think 2-0 leads in the first period are a dime a dozen.
Sure.
But you still have to hold it.
But this is what the Caps
do. Surprised.
I read Barry Svrluga's column in the Washington Post. They played 6 one-goal games against the Maple Leafs last year in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They don't blow teams out
in
the playoffs.
Did we lose game one of that series last year? Do you remember?
I think they did. I'd have to go back and look at the game log. But they play close games. Don't expect 7-0 blowouts like the Pens did to the Flyers, especially in this series.
How about the shot the dude took to the face?
Oh,
yeah, Foligno.
Horrifying. He got up and just skated off. He didn't even bother with the trainer. He just went right into the locker room.
Yeah, but how about Kempfe or whatever?
Kempney crunched against the boards.
I thought he broke his neck.
Ugly.
Was an awful hit.
Yeah, I thought the Anderson getting tossed was warranted. I know a lot of people said, well, that's kind of a hockey play. I thought it was clearly a cheap shot.
Yeah, I mean,
he just ran the guy from behind straight into the boards.
Yeah, you can't do that.
But the
5-minute majors, man, you got to.
Well, the other
thing
is,
can you imagine how bitter Tortorella was?
Oh, I'm sure he was salty.
I personally was, hoping, but I felt like, what was it, like 2:34 left when they came back to start the second period still of extra man advantage?
Mm-hmm.
Felt like it was another missed opportunity there. It's another full power play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that you could almost consider three.
It would have been nice if they had had three going into the first intermission. Because that's when Columbus is going to start doubting things. Oh, we're down 3-0. They're down 2-0. They still feel like they can claw and scratch their way back, which they ultimately did.
We won game one last year against Toronto 3-2 overtime.
Okay.
So basically flip-flopped.
Right.
And then they came back and lost game two and three, both in overtime 4-3.
Right.
So their first three games went into overtime.
Yeah,
for the series
before
last
the season.
That's what the Caps do, man. That's what they do.
Before this series started, I thought it's going to be a 6 or 7 game war, and I hope it gets to that point. But don't expect a 4 or 5 game series.
It's never easy. All right, let's pick up some of these calls. A lot of Caps fans want to chime in.
Ovi was a little quiet last night. I thought he would get more shots. He didn't have a lot of shots.
I think he had 4 shots on goal last night.
Was it 4?
Mm-hmm. I'll double check.
I didn't think it was that many. I just didn't see him do much.
All right, bad these calls.
Sure, it's a product of their defense, too.
It's very easy to go the woe is me route, DC Sports.
It's not over.
And I felt that way last night, too. But it's one game.
Don't abandon ship at this point.
Okay, we're in there.
For the long haul.
I get it.
One game.
I get it, but that just means they have to win Sunday.
But you can't feel confident.
You don't feel great.
Like, how could you feel confident or surprised?
You don't feel great, but I'm not doom and gloom today.
Not yet, but it's an awful familiar feeling.
If it was Monday, I'd feel a lot worse.
But
it's a Friday.
We have a setup.
It's going to be 83 today. I'm okay.
Yeah, the weather's going to be great. But we have a setup for potentially a really disastrous weekend because Caps lose, so they're down 1. Tomorrow the Wiz play in Toronto. Hopefully they don't go down 0-1. And then the Caps play again on Sunday. So you could have misery basically stretching from Thursday all the way through Sunday.
Monday could be bad if both of them lose.
And as a side note, the Nats are sliding. The Nats did not
look
good.
And our sweat bet just looks worse and worse.
I'm not even worried about that at this point.
Well, I am.
Well, I'm glad somebody
Every
is.
Time they lose, I'm worried.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Jamie Annandale. Jamie, what's up? You're on with the jump.
Hey. Good morning, fellas.
Hey, Jamie.
Buddy.
All right. I talked to you guys yesterday morning, and I mean, I was pessimistic about this series. I'm a little bit disappointed more than worried, I guess you could say. But I was in the building last night. That place was rocking. I mean, I've been to a lot of Caps games. It was loud, and for the 10 Blue Jackets fans that was in the building, they were fist pumping, of course, after the game. But Ovi's got to get more shots, yes. They got to get him, you know, in his spot more frequently, I guess. They tried, but Columbus took that away. They got to figure something else out, though, I guess. Jay Beagle definitely is a huge factor. The faceoffs were just atrocious late in the game last night. And the penalties, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to stop.
Yeah, the penalties were bad. A couple of them were just awful.
Yeah, but, I mean, like I said, it's one game, flip a coin. That's the way it's going to be. And, fortunately, we're going to see probably 6 more games like last night.
Are you going to game 2?
No, I'm not. I got other obligations, but right. I'll definitely be watching. But, you know, it's going to be a war, like Jake said, and, you know, hopefully they can find a way. I'm not same old Caps. I'm not going to say that because I didn't have a whole lot of expectations coming into the season. But, you know, once you get to April, everyone's like, here we go.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate it, buddy.
When you win the division and you're hosting a series against a team that you beat 3 out of 4 in the regular season, you're thinking, okay, it's not going to be easy,
right?
But let's win this.
Right.
We should win this.
Let's get off to a good start.
We're the Caps. We got a little history here.
Right.
So, but again, a lot of pressure in game 2.
800-636-1067 is the number. We're taking your calls on reactions to the Caps' game 1 loss to the Blue Jackets last night. Peter, Tony, Nikki, John in Baltimore, and John in Bethesda will get to you next right here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As if I didn't feel bad enough about the Caps' loss, Drab just in my ear says, "Did you see what Philip Forsberg did last night?" I said, "Yeah, he had 2 goals for the Preds."
And he said that because he used to be property of the Caps?
He was trading away the ill-fated Martin Erat deal. GM thought that Erat was the piece that the Caps needed to put them over the top.
Awful trade. What are you going to do? It's over.
I mean, he should be doing that.
Forsberg's a star.
He should be doing that in one of these sweaters, not an ugly Preds yellow sweater, but that's just the way it works.
Be nice.
But we're taking your calls, 800-636-1067, getting your reaction from the Caps' game 1 loss to the Blue Jackets last night. They're down 0-1 in the series. Series resumes Sunday back at Capital One Arena. Can the Caps salvage a split before they head back to Columbus and avoid the dreaded 0-2 hole in the first round of the playoffs?
You know, I read somewhere during the break, I think it was on Russian Machine Never Breaks.
Yep.
We love those 2 blogs,
yep,
right? That and Japer's Rink.
Absolutely.
They're awesome Caps blogs. I believe the Caps went, I didn't realize this, 10 minutes in the third period where they didn't have a single shot.
Yeah, that is it's quite a drought
for the Caps. That's what I was kind of alluding to when I talked about Ovi. Ovi was kind of MIA there in the third period.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't have the puck enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
By the way, I think those are 2 Caps blogs that don't hate our guts. Because I know that there are.
Is there one that hates us?
I know there are some Caps blogs out there.
Oh, really? Which one hates us?
Well, I just remember when we went in the booth with.
I think there's a lot of Caps fans that hate us.
That was Japers.
Was it?
The Japers guy's very cool.
I don't think it was Japers. I think it was like a lesser-known Caps blog that I can't remember the name of.
That was so long ago.
It was a long time ago.
Oh, no, it still
history.
Comes up. If we ever are sort of in the news for anything, they go, oh, are those the guys that were drunk calling the Caps game? Ruining the Caps game?
Thank God I wasn't there.
In the booth?
Like I've said many times, love Joe B and Locker. We will never intrude on their turf ever again.
Well, first of all, we were invited.
We were, yeah.
We just had fun, and people didn't like
it. It's not like we were crashing the party and we were just knocking on the door and all of a sudden we said, hey,
we
have to be in on the broadcast. Please let us in.
Yeah, we just did our shtick and it didn't go over
very well. I just remember you
guys
just got eviscerated for that.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember.
Especially Bickle, because he was clearly the more of the two under the influence.
Well, right. I had a few pops as well.
But I know how Bick is.
Well, combined intoxication with cluelessness, it's an awful cocktail.
We were just having fun. But what you have to remember, you always have to remember, is that even though we were invited and Joe B and Locker love us,
yeah,
that probably 80% of Caps fans don't.
True. Maybe 90%.
Right. So even if 10% love you.
Yeah.
Like in radio, if you get a 10 chair, you're killing it.
Right.
You're set for life.
You write your own ticket.
But that means 90% doesn't like you.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
You got to always remember that.
Got to always know the room.
What's more embarrassing, the booth performance or Cakes on Ice saying the Flyers.
The Flyers
are going to win the
thinking
series.
Thinking that 20,000 people know the Cakes jinx bit.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's a photo finish. They're both pretty stupid.
All right, so we're taking some calls. 800-636-1067. This segment is for you. Get your reactions on the Caps' loss last night.
All right, let's go to Nikki in Arlington. I think this is a chick. Ladies first. Nikki, what's up?
Hey, guys. I'm not okay.
Right.
I bet you're not.
I have a lot of feelings, and I'm a new Caps fan, and, like, I know if I feel like this, it means I'm actually becoming a D.C. resident, but I need to hear something. I don't need to, you know, you guys have your STD commercial. That didn't make me feel good.
Nikki, how new are you as a Caps fan?
This is my first season, you guys. I had, a cute little sign. I was down on the glass.
Oh.
You know, I went through the ups and downs. Like, I cried when they scored first. I know that's a little overly emotional. Like, the guys around me had a lot of feelings about that. But
right. Who'd you go to the
game? There was a lot of beer involved.
Who'd you go to the game with?
My girl Megan, who is just the best to go with, because she reads all the, you know, stuff and obsesses like I do. And I just need you guys to tell me something that will help me get through and that will make me not just, you know,
cakes. Well, look,
Columbus has to win 3 more games. That's what I would tell you.
Yeah, the upside is it's a 7-game series. I don't foresee a Columbus sweep, God forbid, or them winning.
Wait till
in
they win game 2.
Games. Well, if they win game 2,
we could fall apart quickly.
Will officially change.
Well, I was going to say if they win game 2 on Sunday, I probably won't watch games 3 or 4.
So I need to go to game 2 is what you're saying and just cry more.
I don't know if you need to cry. I mean, Valdez will tell you it's just sports.
Yeah, he will.
That's right. That's what I would tell you, Nikki.
You guys have somebody in the building that says it's just sports and he, does this for work?
Yes. He does.
He's very jaded.
He tries not to get emotionally involved that deep into it anyway. But
Nikki, how old are you?
I mean, it's not like it's the Wizards where it's the end of the world. I'm 29.
Nikki,
this is a very controversial thing I'm going to propose to you because you're new to the Caps family. And I would generally never do this, but I might suggest maybe you just root for the Pens.
No, maybe you
just attach yourself to a winner.
It's already too late. It sounds like she's already invested.
I hate Sidney Crosby. He did nothing all season. He's like, you know, maybe I'll get a hat trick tonight. Maybe we'll just get a touchdown. You know, 2 nights ago. I'm like, you just decided to show up to the playoffs. He's been asleep at the wheel the whole season. He shows up. I have a lot of feelings.
Well, you know what? That's okay. If you're a Pittsburgh Penguin fan, you're okay with him just showing up
yeah,
to the playoffs.
You're fine with that.
Because those are the games that match.
Thank you, Nikki. Did he have a lackluster regular season, Crosby?
I don't know what his numbers were, but I mean, the guy has a lot of hardware in the postseason.
Even
if he kind of cruises through the regular season or is banged up, you know he's going to be there
and
be in top form for the playoffs.
The reasonable position to take is it's 1 game. It's a 7-game series.
Nikki, call us on Monday.
Yeah, let's see where they stand after game 2. Okay, let's not full-blown panic yet.
He had 89 points.
That's a lot of points.
What is she talking about?
It's a girl.
Oh, okay, but still.
It's Nikki from Arlington.
I mean, I don't have the list in front of me, but 89 points, I'm going to guess that puts it, that's clearly top 10 in scoring.
He had 60 dimes.
He had 60 helpers, 60 apples.
He had 60 apples.
Apples.
That's a pretty good year. He only had 29 goals.
It's
pretty solid. He had 60 dimes.
Let's go to John in
Baltimore.
And by
the way, he had the hat trick in game 1.
Yeah.
John, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Good morning, Junkies.
Hello.
What's up?
100% doom and gloom. Not going to say disappointed because I kind of prepared for it going in, but it's just what do I expect? What I expect from DC teams now. Not sure I agree with your take on Groovy. Average game at best, but to me, playoff experience is huge and that goes to Holtby. So, I mean, I don't know what they do in game 2. But I'm just doom and gloom. Caps lose first round series. Wizards get swept by Toronto. Nats lucky to win 81 games. And the Redskins go 4-12.
Oh, you are very doomy and gloomy this morning.
That is a doomy. Yeah.
And then we get to start all over again after that.
Yeah, rinse and repeat, right?
Right, exactly.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you, buddy. I know where you're coming from.
I'm not going to play the Titanic music. A few people suggested that last night
on
Twitter. If they fall on Sunday, on Monday I'll probably play it a few times. We'll have to see what happens
Sunday. It just
Sunday.
Makes Sunday huge. Like, if they win last night, Sunday's a game where you go, all right, it'd be nice to win, but you know, we don't have to win.
Sunday's
Man, now
massive.
Sunday, you've got to win.
It's must win. It's the biggest game of the series.
Yep.
Yesterday was the biggest game. out Sundays.
Maybe I have to rewatch all their goals. It'll be annoying to do it, but I didn't feel like any of the goals were like soft goals. But yeah, I don't know how you can blame Groovy for it.
Yeah. I think he was average. Average is slightly above average. He wasn't great.
Let's hear what Trot. We're going to take some more calls. 800-636-1067. This is what Trotz thought about Groovy last night.
Barry, you gave over here. You gave Phil Grubauer a start tonight. What were your thoughts on his performance? And do you go back to him for Game Two?
Well, that's right now. I'm going to reevaluate that your question. If we go back, I think right now that Phillip's body of work was good. I thought he was fine. I mean. We'll sit down, we'll reevaluate all the goals, we'll reevaluate our team and where we're at, and we'll go from there.
See, he said he thought he was fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
he's coming right off that's emotional, off the loss.
He said he has to watch the film.
Yeah.
I get it.
Wasn't a ringing endorsement.
It wasn't.
Yeah, but you have to have some conviction. You pick the guy to start for you in game one. All of a sudden, after one game, you're going to start flip-flopping goalies?
Well,
that's a recipe.
Well, no, he said going in he would have a short leash if you thought he didn't play well. Now, I personally thought he played fine, too. I don't think he stood on his head.
I thought he was average, right?
I think he played well enough to warrant.
Don't. So what if he goes and looks at the film and go, all right, well, he didn't do this right, he didn't do this right.
All right, I'm going to make a prediction. He's going to start Groovy.
I'm not going to say he's not going to. Look,
I'm telling you, he's going to start him.
I'm not debating you. I'm just saying that there's a reason that he said he was fine and he'll reevaluate.
Well, I'm telling you the reason.
It's not like he came out and said he was awesome.
Well, because he wasn't awesome.
He's not the reason we lost. He didn't say that.
But he's really not the reason they lost. The reason they lost is dumbass penalties. That's really the reason why they lost. And as Cakes said, they didn't take advantage of several power play opportunities.
But they also gave up four goals. Let's go to
and they desperately need Jay Beagle back for the remainder of this series.
Well, he not only hurts them on the faceoffs, he's part of their penalty kill.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Need him in that element as well.
Let's go to Tom in Fairfax. Tom, what's up?
Hey guys, good morning. How are you?
Hey Tom.
Hey, I agree with EB. I think that he starts Groovy in the net for game two. But let me tell you guys something. I am totally unfazed by the loss last night, and here's why. I've lived here in D.C. area for probably about 20 years. I used to get psyched whenever they made predictions about snow, and then you sit there and look up at the sky, and it never happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not fazed about the loss last night. I just don't get psyched for playoffs anymore until the series is actually over. So the loss last night, yeah, it's a bad loss, but it doesn't faze me too much. I'm just going to park myself in front of the TV for game two and let it ride.
Let it ride.
It's hard to do that, though. It's hard to watch it and be detached.
Yeah. I mean, I can't just watch it and not be emotional
about
it.
No, I will. If they go down 2-0, I will really watch it detached.
Yeah.
But early in a series where your hopes and dreams are still alive and you're thinking maybe this will be the year, I even though I said I wasn't going to do it, you get sucked in.
This is on the zip line from the 540.
Mm-hmm.
Guy says, Wiz suck, Cap suck, Nat suck, life sucks. It's just a typical DC
suck.
Fan. That's Bickle, did
no,
you
no,
text
I
that?
I like it. He's really committing to his bit.
Was that Bickle? No. You have a 540
area
code? I don't
think so. You don't check the text.
But the one thing that is comforting is to know that there are a ton of people just like me that are just diehard local fans and just feel the same agony. There are a ton of them.
There's a lot of angst come springtime.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Josh in Stafford. Josh, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Jumps.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
what's up? I definitely think he's got to go back to Grubauer, and it even drives me crazy that he's hemming and hawing a little bit. But what makes me crazy? If you watch the game, Jacob Vrana was probably the second best forward on the ice. He drew a penalty. He got an assist on DSP's goal. You know how long he played? It's like 7.5 minutes.
Mm.
He just doesn't trust his young guys. He puts the same slow old guys on the third and fourth line and with the same results every year in the playoffs.
Mm.
He should have Gersich in there. You got to have speed to go after, Columbus's defense. And I just see the same stuff that he was doing 2 years ago in the playoffs. He doesn't – it drives me crazy.
Let's see, Verona played –
I saw somewhere he only had like 5 minutes
he played,
of 5-on-5.
He played 7 minutes.
Yeah. I would expect his ice time to go up in game two after what he did in game one. You would think. But again, I'm not a coach. I'm just a guy who drinks four beers and interrupts broadcasts with Joby and Locker with EB.
Let's go to Peter in Burke. Peter, what's up, buddy? You're on the Junks.
Jason, check that zip line again. I believe that text was from Carlton from Kensington.
Oh, yeah.
Could have been.
Yeah, Gotcha.
So I was curious when Drab, I know no, since JP's not there, nobody's looking at the show outline, but when Drab sends it out yesterday afternoon, does he pencil in 6:30, Cakes plays Funeral Dirge on Sound Machine?
No, I just think it worked because of the mood of the call.
It was organic.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't planned.
Yesterday Jason was asking for the casual fans' perspective, so this is how I watched the game. First, I was watching DJ LeMahieu hit bombs to deep center, and then I remembered there was a hockey game on, so I switched over for a couple minutes. Caps were up 2-0, you know, all life is good. Then I had to play HQ trivia at 9 o'clock. I had to tuck the kids in and watch Americans episode 3 with the wife. And then I switched back over after I saw the distraught text or a tweet from Al Rashid. And then Alan May was doing the postmortem. So it was perfect. I got the whole game in 10 minutes. Caught up.
And, you missed it all. You basically watched a minute of it.
Hey, watch Kerry Russell.
Hey, I didn't watch the most recent episode of the Americans. How was it?
It was a little slow. They're like cooking.
Valdez is really sour on Peter.
Did you know that was going to happen when you asked that question?
No, I was waiting for a legitimate answer.
You've really soured on him, Valdez. All right, real quick, let's go to Ryan in Pennsylvania. Ryan, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, man.
What's
going on?
Hey, yesterday I was high on the Caps, and I threw a $300 bet on the series.
Ooh.
And, ooh. And I'm just hoping Sunday goes a little better than last night. I caught the first two goals, and then I was feeling good, went to work, and checked the score on my way down to D.C. and was hurting.
Right. Well, you know what? It's not over. You got a series bet.
Why
would
you feel good after a two-goal lead? I would never feel comfortable.
I got to be honest with you. I felt pretty good. I felt pretty good.
I mean, you feel okay.
I felt okay. I never felt safe.
Anytime you're up 2-0, and all you got to do is kill two periods.
Yeah, but you know what they say. Okay, but when you have a two-goal lead, they just throw everybody at you.
I know, it's dangerous.
Of it. So
if
dangerous.
You're up 2-0 with 2 minutes to play in the third period. Yeah, you're pretty confident.
Yeah.
2-0 with two periods left to play.
It's nothing.
I don't feel that confident.
But I figured we would get a couple more goals, you know, 2-3 more goals.
Right. But they're hard to come by.
I know. I'm just telling you, I felt pretty confident after. You can't tell me you didn't feel good after 2-0. You felt good.
Felt
okay.
We've been burned too many times.
You know what the Caps need on Sunday? An OV explosion on Sunday. He was kind of absent from the scoring sheet in game one.
That's what I noticed.
You know how you feel when, I mean, all these games that you bet on?
Mm-hmm.
See, you're weird.
It's different.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to lose every single game.
Right. It's the same thing. Okay?
I'm just telling you, I felt pretty good. Maybe it was because I bet on Columbus. I don't know.
Exactly. I think so you were in a weird spot. You were like in a weird win-win emotional hedge spot.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I think that's because if you had money on the Caps, you would not be thinking, oh, I feel great at 2-0. If you had money on the Caps, you would not feel that
way. You know
what?
That's a good point. Yeah. You're probably right. I had money on the other end.
You had money on the other end, so you're a win-win.
But I did feel good that they were going to win the game, but I was wrong.
When we come back, we'll dive into the Junkie Sports page, tell you what happened in the world of sports outside of Caps Blue Jackets.
And also, when we come back, I'm going to give you a stat that someone's given me. I don't know if it's accurate, but if it's accurate, it might give you some hope.
Really?
As a Caps fan.
Could use some hope at this point.
Yeah, I'll give you a good stat.
So we'll do the Junkie Sports page next here on the Fan. Welcome back to the show, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Coming up at 7 a.m., Kevin McCarthy joins us to tell us about all the movies that we won't see this weekend because there's nothing but playoffs and 80-plus degree weather going on throughout the weekend. And then Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post and co-host of Crashing the Net right here on The Fan. He joins us at 7:20. We get back into the Caps.
Yeah, we'll get his thoughts.
Jackets.
All right, so can I give you the stat real quick? So if you're feeling down and you're thinking, so D.C., and it's same old, Caps, all that blah, 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 D.C. sports curse, et cetera, this is not an unfamiliar position, obviously, particularly if you're a Caps fan. Losing game one,
yep.
By the stat I have in front of me, it's happened to the Caps 17 times, okay? Now, the good news, they're 10-7 overall when losing game one in the series.
So they're 10-7 in the series. They've won the series 10 out of 7.
That encourages me a bit.
Now, I don't know how many of those game ones are at home. I haven't broken that down. My guess is it's probably not as great.
Mm-hmm.
But still, overall, not an unfamiliar position for this team. They've lost game one plenty of times before, and more times than not, they've still pulled out the series. So there you go. Something good to think about.
Well, look, I guarantee there's no doom and gloom over at Kettler.
Right.
I mean, they're fine. they realize game two is
important.
Not,
it's adversity.
Thrilled. They're not thrilled, right. but they're certainly not thrilled with the way they played. But they know that they can come back and win the series.
Right.
Caps fans might feel a little different, but the players and coaches are okay.
Right. They got to keep it medium. Right? They got to stay
mellow. They got to Jim Zorn it.
Stay medium.
Are you okay?
And just, you know, tighten a few things up. I mean, the thing that's so frustrating about that game is they're like self-inflicted wounds.
Staying honest, acting
medium. But, you know,
yeah.
I was surprised that last penalty. Who committed the last penalty?
Burkowski.
I was surprised that there wasn't more made of it at the time because I'm freaking out as I'm watching. This is hell.
I had the volume down.
This is hell.
What was Locker saying?
I didn't feel like Joe B and Locker were quite emphasizing what
an
awful position it was to have that penalty at the time. And maybe I just was hearing what I wanted to hear.
Hey, Valdez, do you have the game-winning goal?
The Panera
goal.
I
just want to hear what Panera. And by the way, he makes really good sandwiches and soups.
Yes, he's very talented. The U pick two is really good.
But he's even better on the ice. Do you have that? I just want to hear what the guy's reaction.
Artemi Panarin going wide, typing in, he scores. Artemi Panarin, top shelf,
and then it's all sizzle and sass by Panarin, who gets around the key on a push through and then shoots forehand. And Columbus
all right,
has
stunned
the Caps here
enough.
In game one.
It was a nifty goal because he got past Orlov with the backhand, switched it to the front of his stick, and then put it right past. I mean, he tucked it up in the corner where it was impossible for Grubby to get it because he was in so tight on the shot. But, you know, credit him for making a great play.
All right, can I give you some more updates or recaps from last night on the ice? Can
yep.
I do that? All right, I think we've covered.
Very little interest in the other series, though. I guess maybe the Penn series I'm interested in.
Back underway tonight.
I already got a GIF update from a Drab T-shirt with Philip Forsberg's goal, one of his amazing goals against the Avs. Thanks for that, Drab. I really appreciate
Forsberg
that.
Forsberg scored twice, and they beat the Avalanche 5-2, so they're up 1-0. Actually trailed 1-0 after one. Colorado scored first, but they came back and gave them the beatdown in the second and third. Outscored them 5-1. So Nashville beat the Avalanche. The Bruins pummeled the Maple Leafs 5-1. I took the Maple Leafs last night, plus 145. Big fat. The Lightning beat the Devils. I had the Lightning. I had to lay 2-1, but they beat the Devils 5-2. Should have played them on the puck line.
Probably should have.
So they're up 1-0. And San Jose beat Anaheim 3-0. So they take a 1-0 lead. Tonight, you've got three games highlighted by, of course, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Game two, everyone remembers what happened in game one, 7-0. So we'll see what happens tonight. That game's at 7 o'clock on NBC Sports Network. The Wild and the Jets, game two, and L.A. and the Golden Knights, game two. That's 10 o'clock also on NBC.
I'm pulling for your parlay with the Preds and the, I believe,
Tampa.
Jets. I thought, didn't you?
No, you're right. Winnipeg and Nashville.
I'm keeping better track of your bets than you are. What's happening?
I've got
over
so
here?
Many of them.
You got a lot
because
of
I action. I had Tampa last night, but I don't have them for the series. I just had them last night. So, by the way, Drabby, you're going to give me an update on Seth Jones, who's Popeye Jones' kid.
Correct.
Where did he start playing hockey?
In Denver, I guess, in 1999 when Popeye was playing for the Nuggets, but he bumped into a guy by the name of Joe Sakic. Pepsi Center.
I've heard of that guy.
And he told him that his son was interested in hockey, and I guess Saka gave him a bunch of tips. And Seth Jones skated for an entire year before he even played. Picked up a hockey stick.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because he's supposedly a great skater, right, for as big as he is?
Yeah, he's like 6'4", at like 230. He's
massive. How tall was Popeye? 6'9"?
I would guess, yeah. Former Wizard. I'll always remember him as a Wizard.
Popeye, man, it's weird.
But you knew about that, though, right? Remember, because he was like the number one pick in the draft.
No, I... Yes.
Was it the number
you
one
kind
pick
of forget about
draft
it.
Years ago?
I don't know if he was number one, but he was
very
high.
He was very hyped up. Very hyped up.
Probably two or I don't think he was any lower than three, but I'll double check.
And that's just odd that an NBA player, former NBA player, has a kid who's so good in hockey.
I know.
Fourth overall.
But didn't that stick with you?
It does now, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, believe me, I don't follow Columbus during the regular season, so.
Right. Neither do I.
So when someone said Seth Jones, Popeye's son, plays for Columbus, I'm like, oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Boy, I'm really surprised
really good.
His younger brother got drafted by the Oilers. I'm really surprised those genetics have flowed down that way.
That was Seth's younger
brother. His brother Caleb was picked 117th overall by the Oilers in the 2015 draft.
Just a stud.
Yep.
All right, baseball last night out the park. The Nats lose 5-1 to the Rockies. DJ LeMahieu, who kills the Nats. I believe he's hitting about .387 against the Nats.
He's the Freddie Freeman of the Rockies.
He's the Freddie Freeman, yes. He had 4 hits, 4 RBIs, 2 bombs. He's now got 4 on the year. And it started off early because he hit one in the first. And, you know, they scored 2 in the top of the first. Then he came back and scored 1 in the third. 3-0, and the Nats really couldn't hit Chad Bettis. And so now, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you're just not hitting the ball, besides the top two, starting to be a little shaky. Bullpen, we've always had questions about. Grace came in last night. It was not good, but they couldn't hit anyways. They lose 5-1. Anybody watch the game? I watched, tried to watch as much as I could.
No,
back and forth.
I just had their caps on.
Yeah, I was flipping back and forth.
Screw it.
Trey Bay, 0-4. He's hitting .200. Harp was 0-4, struck out 3 times. So the top of the order, Turner, Rendon, Harper went 0-4-12.
I think the day before, the heart of the order was like 1-for-18, something like that.
Yeah.
Your matchup tonight, Kyle Freeland against Tanner Roark.
Yeah.
Exactly. I refuse to get worked up about these guys, you know, stats until like mid-May.
I get it.
I can't get worked up in April.
We're just recapping.
Yeah, I know.
5 games out.
I can't get worked up.
5
games I will
out.
Say, what'd the Mets do?
Mets were off.
I will say that the Mets pulling away is something to keep an eye on.
5 up.
Even though it's early.
A couple other scores. The Red Sox take 2 of 3.
Couldn't
from
be earlier.
The Yankees 6-3 last night. It rained pretty much the entire night. There was a 45-minute rain delay. Rick Porcello had a no-hitter into the 7th, finally gave up one, and they pulled him. Sonny Gray takes the loss. They jumped on Sonny Gray early, scored 4 in the bottom of the 2nd. So 6-3 win for the Sox. Now the Sox will host. I believe they're hosting the Orioles this weekend, correct, Valdez?
Yes.
Chris Tillman on the mound for the Orioles. We should pepper him real good.
Why? He only has an 8.6 ERA.
Yeah, he's solid. The Angels are now 11-3. Shohei tripled last night, drove in 3, 1-for-4, drove in 3. I think I saw this last night. He's leading the majors in slugging percentage.
It's crazy. It's just crazy. Do you see how he's lobbying?
His slugging 770.
He's lobbying them for more playing time. That was a story that was made the rounds yesterday.
More playing time as in hitting more.
Yeah, yeah. He wants to play more. He doesn't understand why he needs the day off after.
Here's the problem. Okay, and I get it. I mean, he can obviously hit. But the more you play him at the dish, what happens if he gets hit in the wrist, or if he turns his ankle around in second, or if he dives back in on a pickoff play on first and jams his wrist?
Well, if you're thinking that, then why play him at all?
Well, my point is, it's just more of a risk because they are counting on him in pitching,
right?
More than hitting, they can still hit without him, but they need him on the mound. So that's probably why they're doing that.
I thought they were doing it to conserve energy and just to not wear him out.
Yeah, maybe it's a combination of the two. But
because if they were totally concerned about that, I don't think they'd play him at all. If they were just worried that he, you know, just more exposure potentially could hurt him, I don't think they would.
By the way,
I'm not saying that that's the only reason. I'm just saying the more you play him in the lineup, something can happen, and then you're really taking a hit if he gets hurt.
Ohtani is clutch like Mooney when there are 2 outs, 10 RBI this season, leads the majors.
Mike, stud.
Mike Trout also had 3 hits last night, his 5th homer.
He's a machine.
Yeah, he is. All right, so NBA, I got some serious prices for you here. The NBA playoffs start tomorrow.
Our gambling nuggets here.
Real quick. If you're interested in the Wizards, Toronto, the Wizards are plus 500 to win the series.
Wow.
That means you put up 100 bucks, you win 500 if you think they can win the series.
So all you Wizards homers, you know, Chris Miller should put about 1,000 bucks on the Wizards.
Well, at least put 100 on it. That's 500 coming back to you if they win.
Massive dogs.
I hope that's registering with people that just think, oh, yeah, we want to play Toronto in the playoffs. They're plus 500.
So, yeah, Toronto's minus 700 to win it.
We're huge dogs in this series, folks.
Golden State minus 1,400. Spurs coming back plus 800. The biggest dog is obviously the T-Wolves. They're plus 2,100 against the Rockets. The Rockets are minus 4,500 bucks to win the series. If you parlay the Rockets, the Warriors, and the Cavs, if you think all 3 of those teams are going to win their first-round matchup,
yeah,
you're getting about 25 cents on the dollar. So $100 pays you like $26.
Not crazy about that bet.
No, you got to get three series to go your way. I mean, they probably will, but still.
Should, right? I mean, do you
see
got
the Cavs, the Rockets. What's the third one you said?
Warriors of the Spurs. Now, Warriors have been a little dicey in the last 2-3 weeks, but you would expect them to turn it on in the playoffs.
What's the health status of Curry?
I think he's going to miss the first series.
First round for sure.
Yeah. Maybe he comes back later, but I mean, I don't think they're going to need him. They should win next series in five. But I don't know, there's some betting nuggets for you in the
yep.
NBA.
Kevin McCarthy is going to join us next to talk about the box office this weekend, and Neil Greenberg will join us at 7:20 to dive back into Caps Blue Jackets here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.